Chapter 17. By mid-afternoon, we had reached the river, and it became obvious that we were getting close when we saw that the scale was filled with brilliant red lights exploding in a flurry of blazing sparks. Following the river, we came to an old willow growing halfway down the bank, its roots anchoring it to the crumbling mud that the river threatened to wash away. With the scale glowing a fiery, solid red, we knew that we'd found the otter's den. Edric and I peered over the side of the basket as Grisina took a step closer. And there, growing along the water's edge and completely surrounding the den, was a great swath of knee-high plants topped by clusters of clear blue blossoms. Grisina gasped, then turned and scrambled back upriver, away from the threat of the flowers. "Oh, dear!" she said, wiping a sheen of perspiration from her upper lip once she had gotten far enough away. "That won't do at all." "Are you all right?" I asked, not liking the way she had suddenly gone pale. "Yes, yes, I am," she said, patting her face as if to make sure. "But I can't possibly go near the otter's den now. You saw that larkspur. If I were to touch it..." "I don't understand," said Edric. "Why would you be afraid of some plants?" "Aunt Grisina is allergic to flowers."
"I'm afraid it's not an allergy, Emma. It's a curse, placed on our family generations ago. It began with Hazel, the first Green Witch."
"But I was told that you and Mother were allergic."
"We didn't want to frighten you. But this curse affects all the women in our family, starting on their 16th birthday. We thought we had a few years before we had to tell you."
"What does this curse do?" asked Edric. Grisina shuddered, and a look of horror crossed her face.
"It changes a witch, and she becomes hideous. Her hair becomes coarse, her nose lengthens, growing hooked and lumpy, nearly meeting her chin. Her face and body are covered with warts, her voice turns into an ugly cackle, and her personality..."
"That sounds just like Grandmother. Do you mean it was the curse that made her look that way?"
Grisina nodded. "She didn't believe in the curse until it was too late."
Edric scratched his head with his toe, the jerking of his leg making the basket shake.
"Isn't there any way to break the curse? Surely a family of witches..."
"The curse is very old. According to the story I heard, Hazel was a lovely young woman and an already accomplished witch who threw a party to celebrate her 16th birthday, inviting all the local princes and princesses, witches and fairies. Hazel had a green thumb and was known for growing the most beautiful flowers in the region. As the guests left at the end of the evening, she gave each one a bouquet that had been charmed to last a lifetime. However, some unexpected guests had arrived, so she ran short of bouquets. When the last fairy stood at the castle door, having received nothing more than an apology, she cursed the witch Hazel and all her female descendants. Unfortunately, part of the curse involves an unpleasant disposition, and Hazel became too surly to do anything about it. When she died, she took the solution to the curse with her. Fairies, however, live for a very long time, so the curse lives on in us. After our 16th birthday, we don't dare touch a flower for fear of falling victim to Hazel's fate."
"That's terrible," said Edric.
"Don't worry, Emma. After you turn 16, I'll never bring you flowers."
"Gee, thanks," I said, certain he wouldn't have anyway. Grisina wrung her hands in despair.
"I'm sorry, Emma. I don't dare go near those flowers."
"Can't you get rid of them with a spell?" asked Edric.
"No. Even touching them with my magic would bring on the transformation."
"It's all right," I said.
"I wanted to do it myself anyway. But if you could help me get ready..." Of course, she said, but she still looked worried. I feel very bad about this, you know. It's terribly dangerous. We'll just have to take every precaution. Grisina nodded as if she'd come to a decision. All right. What can I do to help? First, we need to find a few things. I would have preferred to use flower petals to make my skirt, but the curse made that impossible if Grisina was going to help. After finding velvety, heart-shaped leaves, we set about collecting the rest of my supplies. Aunt Grisina picked some broad leaves that I folded to make pouches, filling one with pine sap and another with bits of mica we chipped from a large rock. Pine needles and spider webs went into other pouches, and I found a straight twig that wasn't too long or too thick, one that felt just right in my hand. I directed Grisina to a spot by the river where I had seen dragonflies zigzagging above the water on their own mysterious errands. We waited on the riverbank while Edric caught a snack, bringing me an assortment of dragonfly wings on his return. I was just too excited to be hungry. Once we were together again, we made our way to a sunny spot at the edge of a meadow with sun-warmed boulders to sit on and enough insects to keep Edric happy. I tried to use the spiderweb thread to sew myself a leafy skirt, but frog fingers aren't made for holding needles, so Grisina had to do it. While she sewed, I made my magic wand, spreading pine sap on the end of the twig before dipping it into the pouch filled with bits of sparkling mica. When I'd finished the wand, I sorted through the dragonfly wings Edric had brought me, looking for the prettiest. After eliminating a few because they were either too big or too small, I chose a buttercup yellow pair with pale green veining. Not only were they the right size, but they looked nice with my velvety emerald green skirt. Once I had the skirt on, I asked Grisina to glue the wings to my back with another dab of pine sap. They drooped a bit, and we were trying to fix them when Edric returned, his stomach bulging with all the insects he'd eaten. "I'm ready," I announced, although my wings still weren't quite right. "Just a minute," said Grisina, taking a chain from around her neck. She showed me her far-seeing ball, encased in golden filigree. She blew on it, and the ball frosted over with her breath, turning milky and opaque. "Now tap it," she said, holding the sphere out to me. I did as she ordered, and my face appeared in the ball. "There," she said, making herself comfortable on the boulder. "It's focused on you now and will show me everything that goes on around you. I can watch from here. I'll know right away if you need me, and I'll be there in an instant, curse or no curse." "Grisina," I began, "it's the only way I'll let you go without me." "That's fine for you," said Edric, "but I'm going with her." "You can't," I exclaimed. "It won't work if anyone else is there." Edric held up his hand as if that could stop any protest. "I won't go the whole way. The otter will never see me. I just want to make sure you're all right." I was touched by his concern. He could be so obnoxious at times, so sweet at others. Sometimes I just didn't know what to make of Edric. After saying goodbye to Grisina and promising her that I'd be careful, I started back to the otter's den with Edric at my side. He seemed cheerful enough at first, but as we neared the river, his expression became grim. "I've been thinking," he said. "Why don't we just go in the otter's den while he's out and find the bracelet ourselves?" "And risk having him come back and find us there? We'd be trapped in his den just waiting for him to eat us." "That's true," he said. "But if one of us kept him away..." "Edric, we talked about this." "I know, but I don't think you should do it. You're not invincible, you know, and you're not as experienced as I am. You've never had to face the wrath of a charging dragon or a goblin gone berserk. I can't help it. I'm worried. If something happens to you, I'll end up a lonely old frog. Give me the swamp fairy stuff, and I'll go instead."
I tried not to smile, but it wasn't easy. The thought of Edric in the swamp fairy skirt was too funny for words. But the fact that he had offered to take my place meant a lot to me. "That's an awfully nice offer, Edric, but I'm afraid it wouldn't work. I don't think you'd make a very believable swamp fairy." "I don't know."
"This is going to work, Edric. I know what I'm doing."
"I hope," I thought, trying to look optimistic. What if the otter didn't believe me? What if Grisina couldn't get there in time? The consequences of failure would be far worse than my usual humiliation. For if I didn't do this just right, the otter would eat me. If I succeeded, however, Edric and I would be humans again before the end of the day. Either way, what happened next would determine my future, or even whether I was going to have one. The shadows were growing longer when Edric and I approached the otter's den. With both of us caught up in what I was about to do, we forgot to pay attention to our surroundings. When we heard the thud of running paws, we barely had time to hop for cover before the huge white dog came into sight. It was the same beast that had tried to eat me, the same one the old toad had chased away. Although we hid in the tall grass, it was obvious from the way he was sniffing the air that the dog had caught our scent and would soon find us.
"What are we going to do?" I whispered to Edric. "If I go in the water now, my costume will be ruined and I'll have to start all over again."
"Don't worry," said Edric. "I'll handle this. Look for the otter's den under the willow's roots. I'll meet you back here as soon as I get rid of the dog. Just make sure you get that bracelet back." Without telling me what he was going to do, Edric crawled out of our hiding place and hopped directly into the dog's path.
"Hey, doggy!" shouted Edric. "I'm over here!"
The dog had been snuffling the ground, but at the sound of Edric's voice, its head jerked up. Edric began to hop about erratically to get the dog's attention. I watched in horror as the beast spotted Edric and bounded after him, its tail wagging so hard that it was just a blur.
"There you are! I've been looking all over for you," said the dog.
Edric took off, hopping faster than I would have thought possible.
"Hey!" yelped the dog. "Wait for me!"
They were well down the path before I knew what had happened, and although I wanted to go after them to stop Edric from sacrificing himself, I realized that not only would it be useless, but it was already too late. Edric was a much better hopper than I was, and I could never catch up with them. The only thing I could do was follow my plan and get the bracelet back. With any luck, Edric and I would both be successful, and we really would meet back in the tall grass. Worrying about Edric made it harder to concentrate. I'd thought I'd gotten to know him during our travels, but I would never have expected him to be so brave. Edric, of all people. For the first time, I began to believe that his boasts might not have been unfounded after all. Watching for some sign of either Edric or the dog, I left my hiding place and hopped to the old willow tree, sitting down beside the half-concealed entrance to the otter's den. I hadn't been waiting long when the otter appeared, a fat fish flopping between his jaws. When the otter saw me, his eyes grew wide and his mouth dropped open. The fish he had been carrying fell to the ground, thrashing and gasping for air.
"Who in the name of all that's edible are you?" asked the otter.
"I am the Swamp Fairy," I announced in what I hoped was a confident and convincing voice.
"You are, huh? You look like a frog, and to me that means supper. I do believe in big meals. There's always room for more."
"Don't be impertinent," I said, holding my head high. "It's never a good idea to insult a fairy. I'm here because you have something that belongs to me."
"Really?" said the otter. "And what's that?"
"My bracelet. You took it from the pond, and I want it back."
The otter laughed, a high, twittering chirp that ordinarily would have made me smile.
Sorry, you're not getting anything from me that way. Give me a reason I should think you're the swamp fairy and not the second course of supper. You asked for it, I said, flinging a handful of the sparkling mica dust into the air for an impressive effect. The otter drew back and winced, using his paw to wipe the dust from his eyes. I coughed and wiped my own eyes as well, for I'd neglected to take the breeze into account and half the dust had blown in my direction. My eyes were watering as I pointed my magic wand at the otter. Thankful that I didn't have to read just then, I recited one of the spells I had read in Vonnaby's cottage. Be gone, ye old and dingy hue. Erase the old, bring on the new. Bright and shiny, lustrous locks. Make it look real, not from a box. The spell, Hair So New, hadn't been intended for otters, so I decided to customize it. Redo yon fur to shades of blue, and make the color ever true. With the sound of tiny cymbals and a flash of blue light, the otter's fur turned a nice shade of turquoise. Ah! Screamed the otter. What have you done to me? I thought you needed a little convincing. Now do you believe that I'm the swamp fairy? The otter snorted. I don't know if you're the swamp fairy or just some overdressed frog. But either way, I'm not giving that bracelet to you. What would you do with it anyway? The thing is almost as big as you are. You can forget it. What if I make all of your fur fall out? I bluffed. What will you do in the winter? The otter glanced down at his thick pelt and shivered. When he looked up, he seemed resigned, although none too happy. You drive a hard bargain. Wait here, I'll get the bracelet. The light from the darn thing was keeping me awake at night anyway. I was so excited, I hugged myself with glee as the otter trudged down the entrance to his den. The sound of thumping and scrabbling came from the tunnel, and then he reappeared, his blunt muzzle speckled with dirt. Frowning his displeasure, he shoved the bracelet into my hands. It was bigger than my head and would fit easily around my neck, but I was afraid it would choke me if I suddenly turned back into a human. Although I knew it was supposed to take a kiss to turn me back, just holding the bracelet made me nervous. After all, it had already done something unexpected once. I stared at it, trying to decide what to do. Well, said the otter, did you want something else? No, that was it, I said, backing away. You may go about your business again, otter. Huh, said the otter, scratching his head. Fairy or not, you sure are a strange one. Clutching the bracelet, I hopped back along the riverbank to the tall grass where I had last spoken with Edric, but he was nowhere in sight. I started to call his name until I realized how dangerous that would be. If the dog was somewhere around, the last thing we wanted to do was attract its attention. We were still frogs, after all, and still needed to be careful. I waited in the tall grass for the longest time, getting more and more worried, until I heard the slap of something wet landing on the mud behind me, making me nearly jump out of my skin. So, you got it. I knew you would. I whipped my head around and my knees went weak with relief. Edric, you got away from the dog. How did you do it? Edric smiled smugly and tapped himself on the chest. I'm a better swimmer, that's how. No dog can keep up with me. I grinned and threw my arms around his neck in a big froggy hug. I was so worried. Why? He asked, frowning. I told you I'd meet you here. Now, put on that bracelet before we lose it again. Is something wrong? Said a voice, and I looked up to see Grisina striding through the grass. I shook my head and grinned up at her. Not a thing. In fact, everything is perfect. Look, I got the bracelet. I held it up to show her. It was so big it took both of my hands to lift it. Grisina smiled back at me absent-mindedly, as if she were thinking about something else. I know, I saw. You did very well. I'd like to get a little farther from the otter before I put it on, though, just in case he changes his mind. Good idea,
said Grisina. "Although I don't think he will. Excuse me, I'll be back in a few minutes. There's something about that otter."
She walked away in a daze, not noticing the prickers that caught at her skirts as she passed. I would have followed her or tried to make her come with us, but Edric grabbed my arm and tugged.
"Come on," he said. "Let's get this over with."
"Fine, but as soon as we're back to normal, we have to find my aunt. She looks so odd."
"Stop right there," said an authoritative voice.
A glimmering light descended from the sky and settled on the ground. The light swirled and shifted into the form of a fairy, her blue hair streaked with gray, her violet-colored eyes looking tired and slightly bored. Enormous, iridescent wings of violet and mauve fanned the air behind her. When she took a step toward us, her long blue flower petal skirt, browned and curling at the edges, rustled around her ankles. Bending down, she stretched out her hand and said,
"That bracelet belongs to me now."
I gasped.
"Who are you?"
The fairy glared at me.
"I am the Swamp Fairy. The real, one and only, honest-to-goodness Swamp Fairy. I was told that someone was impersonating me.
What is the world coming to?
A fairy goes away on vacation for a couple of decades, and suddenly everybody tries to take advantage. Shame on you! I have to fine you for that. Hand over the bracelet."
I took a step back.
"What do you want with my bracelet?"
The fairy looked me over as if I might be hiding something.
"It seems to be the only thing you have of any value. So, that's how you'll pay your fine."
"No, wait, I can't give you this bracelet," I said, clutching it to my chest. "We really need it. Isn't there anything else I can give you?"
"Nope, that's it. I don't need any firstborn tadpoles, if that's what you're thinking. So, give me the bracelet and be on your way."
I couldn't do it. Not when we were so close. Panicking, I turned to Edric and my eyes fell on the vial of dragon's breath.
"I know! Edric, turn around!"
I hurriedly untied the twine, holding the vial on Edric's back.
"I thought you said there wasn't any swamp fairy," Edric whispered.
"I didn't think there was," I whispered back.
"But how do we know she's..."
"Edric, don't say another word. You're going to get us in even more trouble."
"I can hear you," trilled the swamp fairy. "Hasn't anyone ever told you that it's not polite to whisper?
Now I have to raise your fine."
"Sorry," I said. "Here, would this do instead of the bracelet?"
I held the vial in the sunlight so the fairy could see the beautiful swirling colors.
"What is it?"
asked the swamp fairy, looking skeptical.
"It's a vial of dragon's breath. I understand it's very valuable."
"Dragon's breath? I haven't seen any of that in ages.
Here, let me have it."
I started to pass the vial to the swamp fairy, but I was fumble-fingered and it slipped out of my hand. My heart jumped into my throat when the vial landed with a thud on her foot. She said, hopping on one foot while cradling the other in her hand.
"You dropped it on me! Oh, oh, oh!"
Edric and I backed behind a clump of grass, trying to stay out from under the hopping fairy.
"I'm sorry," I said, feeling like an idiot. "I didn't mean to."
"Never mind that," said Edric. "Is the vial all right?"
The swamp fairy gave him a nasty look. Ignoring Edric, I hurtled over the grass and bent down to pick up the vial. When I offered it to the fairy, she snatched it from my hand and gave me a nasty look as well. The fairy uncorked the vial and sniffed it cautiously. Her face promptly turned a bright green. Coughing, she rammed the cork back into the opening.
"Hoo-wee! Does that stuff ever stink? That's dragon's breath, all right. Sure, I'll take this as your fine. I have a good friend who's a dragon. He's getting old and fat and has been short of breath for years. This would make a great birthday present for him. But now you have another fine to pay. Two, come to think of it.
one fine for whispering about me, and the other for hurting my foot. What else have you got that you can give me?
Why, nothing other than the bracelet.
Then I'd better take that as well. It is awfully pretty. Grabbing the bracelet, the fairy turned it over and shook it, smiling when the light danced on the little symbols.
But we need it, Edric wailed. Without that bracelet, we'll be stuck as frogs forever.
Really? Said the fairy. What does this bracelet have to do with you being a frog?
I didn't want to tell her, but Edric had already said too much. I couldn't see any harm in telling her the rest. I was a human until I kissed Edric, but I was wearing the bracelet. The fairy's eyes opened wide.
And the bracelet turned you into a frog?
I nodded.
Yes, it's a...
Here, take it, she said, thrusting the bracelet at me.
The last thing I want to do is turn into a frog. Imagine me as a hairless, slimy...
Hey, said Edric, scowling at the fairy. Afraid of what he might say, I jabbed him in the stomach with my elbow.
But that's all we have, I said.
The fairy took a step back.
Never mind. The dragon's breath will do just fine. If you promise never to impersonate me again, I'll forget your other offenses and we'll call it even.
Oh, I promise, I said. Edric and I hopped away from the river as if a dragon were after us. Faster than you can say, 4 fat frog feet, 5 times fast, we had jumped through a small copse of saplings and into a nearby meadow.
Now, can you put it on? Edric asked as soon as he'd caught his breath.
I hate to be pushy, but something else is bound to happen if you don't.
Just a minute, I said, setting the bracelet on the ground.
Since the bracelet seemed to remain the same size no matter what, I wasn't going to take any chances. I sat down, placed my wrist inside the bracelet, and patted the ground.
Edric, have a seat over here.
Edric hurried to sit beside me.
I'm ready, he said, puckering his lips.
Let's hope this works. I crossed my fingers and leaned over to kiss him. I saw movement out of the corner of my eye and looked up to see the dirty white dog trotting into the meadow, its nose held high as it snuffled the air. A sparrow shot from the ground by the dog's feet, but the beast swung its head from side to side as if homing in on a scent, oblivious to everything else. I tried to ignore the dog as I kissed Edric long and hard on the lips. When nothing happened right away, Edric's face drooped in disappointment, and I felt as though I was about to cry. A breeze blew from behind us, carrying our scent directly toward the dog. When his ears pricked forward, he swung his head in our direction and trotted toward us, his tail wagging like a flag. Resigned to certain doom, I was watching the dog when my fingers and toes began to tingle. The feeling spread up my arms and down my legs. A shiver ran along my spine, chased by the golden, fuzzy feeling. Once again, my head felt light and full of bubbles. Once again, a tremendous wind rushed past me, and I fell to the ground with a gray cloud filling my head. But not before I saw the dog collapse as well.